Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to talk about the Robotaxi release, the beta release here in Austin. Just took my first couple of rides, so wanted to just do a quick question and answer for people that might have questions about what we have experienced today, and just make myself available now that I've taken a couple of trips here. Hopefully we'll still be able to take a couple of more before I leave Austin, but yeah, let me know what questions you have and I'll share some of my thoughts here. I did just post my full video on both X and YouTube, so please feel free to check those videos out. I tried to give some timestamps to point out some of the more interesting parts of the drive. Obviously, it's just a car ride, so most of it is sitting in traffic, at lights, things like that. But I just wanted everyone to have the full unedited experience there, just to be able to see exactly what was going on. And I would have posted the full entire second video or the full entire second drive as well, but unfortunately, my phone got overheated and the battery was draining insanely fast, even with a pack battery, extra battery pack as well. So just didn't quite work out. But hopefully that first video kind of gave a feel for exactly what happened. If you guys can also let me know if the audio's going okay. I've just got a lapel mic on here, so hopefully it's okay. It looks like it might be a little bit quiet. This was the max volume I could go, so hopefully that's all right. If it's not, I can try to just switch to my computer microphone, but please let me know if that's working all right. It'll be a little bit easier if you just want to throw a super chat, not for the money purposes, but just to like keep things organized in terms of the questions. But I'll try to go through and just hit the questions as I see them come in as well. So first, I'll just talk about my experience. So I think everyone knows exactly, or you know, roughly how things went this morning. We were expecting to kind of have the service go live at around noon. It ended up being a little bit delayed. I know there was a little bit of rain too. I don't know if that played into it, if it was just kind of getting things ready. But it did end up going live right around 2, as they had then told us to expect. There's no NDA or anything. No one is refrained from sharing anything that they've seen or experienced today. There's nothing like that. It's really just a limited early access system right now. And for obvious reasons, you know, they've only got a handful of cars operating at the moment. I don't know the exact number. We've heard maybe 10. Could be that. I think there was a screenshot that maybe showed a little bit higher from that party that they were having at the Tesla headquarters today for the release. So we don't know exactly how many vehicles there were today, but right now, with such a limited number of vehicles, obviously they need to keep the number of participants low to make sure that the wait times aren't egregious. And even today, with a handful of us using the service, for me, I got in a little bit after the first initial rush because I was just outside the service area and it took me a little bit longer to walk to than I had expected to, just crossing the river. So I ended up making my first request around, I don't know, 2:45 or something like that. And at that point, I think a lot of people were in the middle of their first ride. So for me, it was about 18 minutes from the first request to my pickup, and then my second ride was about 13 minutes from that first request to pickup. So even again, with just this limited number of people, those are pretty long wait times, probably longer than what you'd expect from like an Uber or a Lyft or even a Waymo, something like that. So as Tesla gets more and more cars added to the fleet, obviously, which should happen, I think, relatively quickly, as long as there are no issues, then they can start adding new participants. Obviously, they had this Robotaxi page, which I can maybe pull up right now, that people can go to and just kind of, if you're interested, sign up to be a part of the early access group. I'm sure Tesla will kind of do similarly to how they did with FSD Beta, just start rolling this out a little bit, you know, user by user as they get more confidence in the system. And eventually, hopefully, remove the safety passenger, I guess, that we've got in there now. Obviously, these people that are monitoring the vehicle right now, they're there to monitor. They're not there to answer our random questions. So I've seen people asking, you know, why aren't we asking more questions of them? That's not their purpose. That's not what they're there to do. They're there to make sure that the vehicle is behaving as expected for this, you know, early stage of the launch. And obviously, they've done a lot of validating before this with employees. So it is still just precautionary, but I also think they're there just in case weird stuff happens, right? Like, until Tesla gets mountains and mountains of data from more and more actual uses of the system like this, like what we have today, there's the possibility that things that are weird could happen. So it's nice to have someone there that can directly take care of that if needed. And obviously, over time, hopefully that responsibility shifts to something that can be handled remotely, in almost all cases. And in cases where it can't be, obviously Tesla would have, presumably would have people standing by to be able to go to the actual site, at least while we're in this sort of geofenced situation, which I think we'll be in for quite a while. Obviously, ideal end state is no geofence, you can go anywhere, do anything, but it'll be a while before that comes. Again, just because there is so much weirdness associated with, pickups, drop-offs, things like that. So it'll take time to get there, but it's sorry, my buddy just texted me, said he's watching. So yeah, anyway, today it was great. Super exciting. This is like a huge milestone that I think we've all been waiting for so long, with Tesla. I mean, it's really a decade in the making now. So super proud of the Tesla team for the milestone today. In terms of my experience, everything was pretty smooth. The one part that wasn't the smoothest, I think there was a little bit of a navigation issue. So it was around 7 minutes in the video that I shared earlier. So we can kind of just go through that. My second ride would have been even more boring than this one to post. Not that it's boring. The excitement of what's being accomplished is very exciting, but the actual drives can be a little bit boring. So here we can see where there was this little bit of an issue. And if you watch the screen, you can see there's some confliction between if it wants to make the left here, which actually would have been too early, because you can see it's really needs to turn up at the next intersection. So it hesitates there and then decides it wants to go back. Obviously, we're on the wrong side of the double yellow lines here. No vehicles anywhere in sight, so this wasn't a safety issue. We did get honked at by the car that was behind us, because obviously that was a little bit of a confusing maneuver. It was, I think, probably more of like an annoyance honk than like a safety honk. It wasn't anything, like for me, I didn't feel uncomfortable in that situation as the passenger. I mean, I've got a ton of experience with FSD, so had I not had that, maybe it would have been uncomfortable, but you can even see our safety driver here. I don't even think he reaches for the screen. There is another instance, which we'll go through here in a second, where he did, but that wasn't FSD. That was actually someone doing something very similar to what happened here, that caused a little bit of a moment of concern. So anyway, as you can see, I'll just rewind here a couple of times. Am I off on the timestamp? Yeah, this is a little bit later. So again, if you just watch, you can see the navigation kind of like flickering back and forth between turning left and going straight. And it would have been interesting if there was more traffic here. There wasn't. So again, just wide open road, and FSD is very aware of that, so it knows that it can travel into that area, even though that they're, it's not necessarily exactly where the car should be driving. It doesn't create any, in my mind, it doesn't create a safety issue. And I know people will potentially disagree with that. Maybe it would have been safer here to just take the left, like it sort of had originally intended to do. But at the end of the day, we did end up getting there more efficiently by not having done that. And I don't think, my assessment of it is that there was not a safety risk here. So that was probably one of the more interesting parts of the drive, of the two drives that I had so far. And then again, here, kind of interestingly, with a human driver actually doing something similar, deciding not to take the left that they had planned to take, they much more egregiously making that decision at the last minute. And they did have oncoming traffic to kind of worry about in that circumstance, too. So you can see this was probably the only moment where I think the safety driver considered doing something, or safety monitor considered doing something. And you can see that on the screen, of course, there are the, I think, the pullover and stop options. So I think it's stop in lane or pullover, the two options. So looked like he was kind of going for one of those, just in case this car really did swerve out in front of us. But obviously our vehicle sees that. It was already reacting a little bit and smoothly stopped and let this vehicle come into our lane. So I thought FSD handled that really well, but pretty funny that it was just moments after we had actually done something, a similar maneuver in our vehicle. So just goes to show that whether there's humans driving or robotaxis driving at the moment, little things like that'll happen on the road. And I think ultimately, like robotaxi, with its 360 degree, no blinking, no lack of attention in any direction at all times, is going to be able to maneuver out of circumstances like that, I think, in a much more safer way, where If it needs to cut back another direction, it knows exactly what's in that direction without having to, turn and look at it. So those were probably a couple of the highlights. I think one of the things I've been curious about is pickup and drop off. Those were in both cases handled very smoothly for me. I probably did not the most complicated areas. So I think, if I get, hopefully I'll have some opportunity later tonight to maybe test out some other pickup and drop off locations. But yeah, they were very smooth for me. We did in this first one have to make a second loop around, but I'm not gonna fault it too much. I think maybe an Uber would have pulled over on the first loop. I don't have the exact timestamp for when that happened, maybe around here. Yeah. So somewhere around here. So I'll just kind of explain what was happening. I put in a random destination, guys. I was just trying to get as far as possible. So it ended up being about a 10-mile trip. went to this Ann Richards School for Education of Young Women Leaders or something like that. So kind of a funny destination for my first robotaxi trip, which I enjoyed. But the actual drop-off, I think, again, I don't actually know what this location is, but it was actually back in here. So turning here would be a very reasonable thing. It's probably where I would expect an Uber to turn. And then I think an Uber would probably just pull off to the side here, and then I would have to cross through these bushes and stuff, which would be probably not ideal. And I don't know how much the Tesla is thinking about that or just realizing that, oh, this destination is actually a little bit further to the right. So you can see it actually just reroutes there. Let's see. You can see right, if you watch there, right as we go by here, it reroutes right there. So that one felt a little bit confusing. I kind of thought we would just end up maybe in a perpetual loop there. So Tesla on its own though realized, oh, I turned too early here. I don't know if that's like a longer context window that's being worked with or something like that, but we just loop around this block. So I'll fast forward, make a couple of lefts. There's the first. Here's the second, which we had to yield to some oncoming cars there. Tesla handled it nicely. And then we come back to the stop sign. Here, the vehicle did turn the blinker on, which it shouldn't. This could be something that would confuse other drivers, not in a way that I think is gonna really cause any issues, but obviously, ideal, you wouldn't turn the blinker on until right about now once you're actually through that intersection. So then it does it here. I think this is fine turning into the parking lot, and then we actually get into the destination, which again, it's sort of figured out that it didn't make that correct turn the first time, or it turned prematurely the first time, and then here the second time gets me right up to the actual destination. And then that was the end of the trip. I thought it stopped in a nice spot here too. Not in front of cars that maybe needed to back out. It kind of like pulled forward into this empty space, which you'll be able to see here in a second. I guess it's sort of in front of this. Yeah, I guess it is sort of in front of that one car, but still, fine spot for it to stop. And obviously, very close to the destination. So, I haven't had a chance to watch any other people's videos yet today, but sounded like maybe there was some longer walks to actually get in the vehicle. For me, it was, pretty much right where I would have wanted it on both pickups. So, we'll see how that goes from here. But I think that's one of the things that, with the robotaxi service is a little bit different than what Tesla's been focused on, and probably the year or so leading up to when this really started to become a focus in Austin to try to get unsupervised out. I don't think that pickup and drop off stuff or like parking situations were, as focused on. So I expect that's something that has really been fine-tuned with Robotaxi and will continue to be as they continue the operations. All right, I know I said this was a Q&A. I didn't answer any questions yet, so let's take a look here at some questions. I'll try to just, I guess, start from bottom to top here. Which are probably not gonna be questions. Okay. John, awesome to see you on here. Let's see. Overall, pretty impressive day. Any indications for market reaction tomorrow? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of macro stuff going on here, so I'm not gonna make any speculations about what the market does. I think this is a huge milestone for Tesla. I think for those people that have been on FSD version 13, this shouldn't be surprising at all that Tesla's capable of this, especially in a small geofenced area. I'm not in a geofenced area. I'm driving in Chicago in all sorts of weather, all sorts of conditions on version 13. I'm using FSD all the time, 95% of the time. The other 5% is I just want to probably drive faster than FSD, even though FSD is quite quick now, which is great. Or I'm just bored and just want to drive. So 95% of my miles, I'm over 4,500 miles driven now. And I think I've had one intervention that could have been considered safety critical, but it's one of those situations where if I had not taken over, it probably would have been fine. The vehicle would have probably, successfully navigated the situation, which it was just high speed interstate merging lane situation. So I just felt like I wanted to take over to make sure that, at high speed, you run out of options pretty quickly. So again, the vehicle might have handled it fine, but I wanted to abundance of caution in such a risky situation. That was really the only time, though, that I felt like safety critical, which to me means crash imminent, right? I think a lot of people have too low of a threshold for what safety critical means to them, especially if you look at like the FSD beta tracker, which says there's like a safety critical intervention every 500 miles. To me, that's complete nonsense. Like, it's not even close to accurate based on my own experience. My rate is way, way, way lower than that, a tenth of what that says. So, and again, I'm in Chicago. Like, this is not an FSD, paradise. Like, both from just condition of roads and from probably amount of data that Tesla has. I mean, obviously, a good amount of Tesla's there, but it's not like it's California. So, yeah, if you've experienced FSD version 13 on hardware 4, none of this should be surprising. That said, for the markets, there's probably still some element of surprise. I think people discredit Tesla and discredit their timelines a lot and don't really think things are going to happen when they're, supposed to happen. Here, this happened in June, like Tesla has been saying for months, on time. On time, obviously it's been a little bit later than what was expected over the years, but from the latest guidance and from version 13, which was really the step towards this being feasible, which I think we all, have realized from using it, then from that point, this has been on time. So again, huge milestone for Tesla. Congratulations on the release. I'm not going to speculate on what the markets say because, it doesn't really matter. I think what happens from here in terms of both size of the geofenced area and the amounts of users that are brought on and the amount of vehicles that are brought into the fleet to operate, those are really the big questions for what happens with the stock. If Tesla can expand quickly, like we're already at half, probably half of the service area of Waymo here in Austin, hopefully that can quickly match and then start to quickly exceed. Because once that happens, it's over. Like, I don't think people appreciate that when Tesla gets to a point where they match Waymo, there is absolutely nothing Waymo can do to be competitive in that market. And if that happens in all the markets that Waymo is in, they're done, they can't compete because their cost for their vehicles is going to be about five times higher than what, Tesla's cost is going to be. So unless there's something that I'm not considering in terms of, cost of operating the service, like the amount of remote interventions being, egregiously higher for one service than the other, I can't see how once Tesla gets to the level that Waymo is at, that Waymo can do anything other than just like hope people keep using their service. Like, they're not going to be able to charge less. So what are they going to do? Like, they don't have the scale. They don't already have the scale, and to get to the scale is going to be way more expensive than what it's going to be for Tesla. So in my point of view, once Tesla gets to that point, Waymo's done. They can't compete with that. And I think that will happen pretty quickly. Obviously, that's what I think Tesla thinks as well. It might feel like a long time, but when we're sitting here in a year or 2 years, and hopefully Tesla's in all, most major cities by that point, it's I think going to be clear somewhere along from now to that sort of a 2 year time frame, what the winner is here. So we'll see. All right. Are you more optimistic today or left with thoughts? Always left with thoughts, yes. I don't know. I've been optimistic since using version 13. I mean, I've consistently said how amazing it is. So for me, this isn't something that's shocking. This is, I would have been surprised if there were any major issues today. It doesn't seem like there have been. It seems like it's about as smooth as one could expect, sort of all around. And there's, aside from the geofence, there's no like restriction here. We can just go and use it whenever. Like I could go like right now. We've got the app up here. Probably can't see much, but I could just go and order, a vehicle. I'm right a little bit outside of the service area, but other than that, it's not like there's like predetermined locations that we can go to or from. It's just anywhere in that geofence. So, which is, pretty big. I mean, I took 2 10-mile trips today, which is both probably took me 20 minutes, which is a pretty long, Uber ride. So, I don't know if I'm more optimistic. I think I was always optimistic. I think that has reinforced my optimism. That's probably the best way to put it, in terms of what I experienced today. Let's see. Someone asking about the message that was on the screen. Let me see. I've got the timestamp for that. I think it was around 13 minutes. So they were just asking about what this message was. I think Chuck Cook just posted that he received the same message. Hopefully, you guys can see that there, but it just says external drive is almost full, greater than 75%. Data will start being deleted at 85%. So I assume they're just using some sort of solid state drive to capture a lot of different data. And it just was saying that that was almost full. So this is something that I haven't seen in my own vehicle. I don't think that I have gotten close to capacity for an external drive ever, but that's what that was noting there. So let's see. Just again looking for some more questions here. So someone here is, sounds like has gotten that message before, Rob Gator. Yeah, memory warning is an old one, so seems to be something that could happen for passenger cars too. But since Chuck Cook saw this too, do you think that it's something to do with how they're recording the data for the robotaxi? A lot of people have been asking about if there's anything to do with the passenger door handle, just with the safety monitors. I don't know. Again, we're not trying to badger them and get more information. I guess I didn't notice in either of my drive that there was a lot of attention around the door handle. Maybe it's just a comfortable riding position and people end up doing that. I don't think there's any sort of like custom hardware over there. I can't rule it out. It's just I don't think that there is. I think my reason for thinking that, other than it just would be a little bit weird and surprising because I don't think these vehicles have any sort of custom hardware or anything. But if you look at what happened here when we did have this sort of, moment of concern caused by this vehicle doing some weird stuff, he's going for the screen, right? He's not trying to do something over on the door. And I think he was going for the stop, the emergency stop in lane. So, I don't know what would be over there. I don't think that there is anything over there, but I can't rule it out. And I don't think any of the safety monitors would probably comment on that either. Let's see. Just looking for more questions here. I'll probably have to wrap up here in a minute. And then I'm hoping to do some more rides tonight. I don't know if I'll be able to record them. It's a little bit tricky. I mean, we can't like stick a mount up on the car, so you're kind of just holding the camera. It's not the best quality stuff. And then it takes quite a while to get it uploaded. If it's interesting, let me know. I'm not sure how interesting it is to just like watch these. Because again, hopefully they're good. Did you hear about issues with other riders? I haven't heard of any issues. It sounds like people are having good experiences so far. I think Dirty Tesla said that Chris said that he had to call in support for something, but I haven't had a chance to. I don't know if there's any video or anything like that, but it sounds like it was resolved quickly. I didn't have to call support. I think a couple of people did. I probably should have just tried it out. I didn't want to not, if I didn't need support, I didn't want to ask for support, but sounds like they were very responsive, which makes sense. I mean, this is a very tight beta right now, so. So I think I answered this one, but just again to reiterate my point of view, when we did have this little navigation hiccup at around 7 minutes here, I think the only sort of discomfort that I experienced was it felt like someone was like, going left, straightening out, going left, straightening out, sort of in quick succession, which isn't something that you would really experience from a human, I don't think. Like a human is potentially going to be indecisive, but not indecisive like multiple times, trying to like pick between two things, which is kind of how it felt. So it felt like that's probably the only part of the ride that felt really a little bit like non-human. And if you've ever been in a Waymo, I think Waymos actually feel non-human a lot more frequently than even Tesla, FSD version 13, and certainly the Robotaxi here. One of the most awesome things about it is how smooth and human-like FSD is becoming. And for me, at least, I don't have a ton of experience in Waymos, but when I have been, it's felt a lot like more jumpy, a lot more like computerized, I guess. And this was a moment that felt a little bit more like that, which again is unusual, because it was something a little bit different than how a human would behave, even facing sort of that indecision in that moment. So sort of the forces changing in that way felt a little bit weird. Again, I didn't feel uncomfortable. I think it was a lot more comfortable because there wasn't oncoming traffic in that situation. Had there been, who knows what would have taken place. I think a lot of people like project what Tesla would have done if something like, if there had been oncoming traffic and then say like, oh, this would have been a disaster. But FSD takes those things into account, right? Like if you change the environment, if you change the circumstances, the result will change as well. And a lot of people just assume that the result will be the same, but it's not a logical thought process. So for me, again, in the circumstance, I didn't feel even a little bit uncomfortable. If I had like a heart rate monitor on, I don't, maybe it would have spiked like five beats or something like that. It's, insignificant in terms of how I was feeling. You may notice there was the driver behind us that honked. Again, I said, I think that was more of just like an annoyance thing versus, it was well past the point of when we had like made our intent clear at that point, so it wasn't like a imminent danger honk. But again, obviously not an ideal situation. I think probably once it was already in that turning lane, it probably should have just committed to the turn. I think that's probably the ideal outcome there, but then we're off route and have to reroute. Not the end of the world, but probably would have been the safer choice. How did you pick the end destination? Was it a list of locations or a set place? Nope. So just like on Uber, you basically just search for, whatever location you want. So I don't know how well you'll be able to see this. Probably not. Yeah. Well, let me make myself bigger here. If I can do that. Sorry, guys. I'm not a professional anymore. It's been so long. Oh, here we go. All right, giant me. Okay, so I'll try to like not mirror that too much, but you can see you just put, oh, liked by Mae Musk. All right, that's nice. Thanks, Mae. So here you can search for a destination that is in the geofence area. So for me, I did like the Ann Richards School. I was not seeking this out, by the way. This is just something that came up, and it looked like it was towards the end of the geofence, so I picked it. But you can just see that you search for whatever the location is, and then you put it in there. You can see, so that's that white pin that's dropped there all the way on the other side of the area. And you can see right now I'm not in the area. So at the top of the screen there, it says outside of service area. You were too far from the service area. So if I were to walk over there, again, could request this. But yeah, you just put in your destination. And then I didn't show this earlier, but there is sort of like these sort of menu items that you can pick from: bars, food, fast food, fun. So if we just like put fun in here, I know this is like the jankiest way to demonstrate this, but it'll show some few locations that it thinks are fun. So it looks like mini golf, escape room, splash pad. Not sure what that is. Does sound fun though. So yeah, pretty cool. I think the differences with this app from Uber. Sorry, I don't want to just like stare at myself here. Even that's better for you guys. So I think the differences with Uber, you have a little bit more control over where the pins happen. Like I think you can drop a pin for both pickup and destination. There doesn't seem to be like the dropping pin functionality in this app yet. I'm sure that's something that Tesla will add. I don't view it as something like I don't really care about the Robotaxi app too much because it's just so easy, not to diminish it, but it's so easy relative to what Tesla is doing on the actual hardware and software side of driving the vehicle, that I just don't even think about the Robotaxi app at all. And it's well developed, right? Like we've all been able to use it successfully today, and this is sort of day one. So it's only going to get better from here. But those would kind of be the only real minor nitpicks, is it would be nice to have a little bit more flexibility on like drop off and pickup locations. And that's something that will come with time, no doubt. I think Tesla will probably become best in class at that actually at some point, because I think there's some fun things that you could do around that. But it's not like it creates any issues, I don't think, today. So let's see. I can't remember what question I was answering there, but. Antonio, good to see you on here. Any parts of your rides reroute to avoid a complicated intersection or maneuver? Didn't reroute, but I don't know if there's any sort of, geofencing within the area. It sounded like from Elon's comments on the earnings call that there may be some of that. He talked about avoiding certain intersections. I don't know these routes well enough to know if that's the case. It seemed like direct routes to me, but it's certainly possible there could have been locations that they sort of like fence off within the geofence. Just not able to tell. It did reroute a couple of times for me, or maybe just the one time, at the end of the trip, the first trip, just with the prematurely turning for the destination there. No disengagements, obviously. Did you notice a difference between current FSD and Robotaxi software? Not really. I mean, there's obviously the emergency stop and pull over buttons on the screen. There's a little Robotaxi graphic there. Otherwise, I didn't really notice too much of a difference. I mean, FSD version 13 is so good. If you don't have a Hardware 4 car, if you haven't driven in one, just go do the 48-hour test drive. It's so good. It's what you see here, right? I mean, this is a different version of software, so sorry for that's misleading, but and we don't know what software version this is. We don't have any information on that. I don't think Tesla's sharing that. The safety drivers are not going to answer those types of questions, obviously, or the safety monitors. So yeah, no information on that, but it felt very similar to me as FSD version 13, which for me is something that feels like it could be unsupervised 99% of the time. So, I live in Austin. How can I try it? So go to the Tesla Robotaxi page and sign up for the wait list. Obviously, they're going to roll this out slowly, but if you are interested, definitely do this. It'll connect to your Tesla account at some point. Like I didn't even have to add a payment method to the Robotaxi app because it was already connected through my Tesla account, which is nice. Let's see, missed some super chats here. Thank you for these, I appreciate them. Asking about pickup, so I didn't have to walk. I might have just gotten lucky with my pickup points, but I didn't have to walk to either of them more than, I don't know, 20 steps, a normal amount across the street. Not a busy street, across the parking lot is not a great way of saying it either, but a couple of car lengths, we'll call it that way. Oh, Sven, nice to see you. Any predictions on how many cities at the end of this year and or number of robotaxis? That's a good question. I don't make a ton of predictions. It's a difficult game, not a winning game. I guess I'll state it in terms of what I hope will happen. So I hope that the geofence area expands before the end of the year in Austin. I hope that it can expand to larger than the size of Waymo. I think if that happens in Austin, like I said before, it's kind of over for Waymo in Austin, in my view, if Tesla's able to achieve that. And if they can do that before the end of the year, I mean, that would be phenomenal. And in terms of the number of vehicles, at least in Austin, I guess I don't. Once Tesla feels like they can take the safety monitors out, there's really nothing stopping them from sort of saturating the market with vehicles. I guess charging will be a consideration, what Tesla will do there, because once you take the safety monitors out, who I'm sure are taking care of charging right now, then that becomes a little bit of a question. But I assume they would just staff someone at the supercharger to plug in robotaxis and unplug them when they're ready to go. So it seems pretty trivial. Obviously, Cybercab will have wireless charging, but until then, I think you just hire an attendant to, instead of having a safety monitor in each car, you've got one safety monitor doing the charging at the station. So I think once Tesla feels like they can take those people out, there's nothing stopping them from saturating that service area with vehicles, because the cost of doing that is not extremely prohibitive, especially just in one market. So that's my hope for Austin before the end of the year. I think I'm hopeful that they can launch in at least one other city by the end of the year. I think that's sort of what Tesla's guidance has been. California is tricky from a regulatory perspective, but hopefully Tesla's able to collect data here in Austin that will help support their case. I don't know how much California will consider that, but I think it would be kind of silly to not consider it. So hopefully they will, and hopefully it will be good data that, supports Tesla being able to expand in other areas. And I'm sure they're working on collecting data in California that allows for that too. So I believe they've been testing this for quite a long time in California with people in the driver's seat just on a, an employee basis. So I guess that would be my hope, my expectation. Anything beyond that, I would be blown away. Not in terms of like surprise, but like the progress that would represent would be phenomenal. Frank, thank you. Any further event info expected at Giga Austin? I don't think so. This isn't really, I don't think there's any event as far as I know. It's just Robotaxi service is up and we can use it. So I'm jealous of the people that actually are in Austin and can actually put this to use like day to day. That's a nice thing. Rex, thank you. Appreciate that. All right, I do have to hop off here. Gonna grab some dinner and then probably, hopefully, take a few more rides here later tonight. It'll be interesting to see, the service operating at night as well. As far as I know, it'll go till midnight tonight. I think that's generally the service windows until midnight and then starting at 6 a.m. I think that's largely for, again, the safety monitors. You're not gonna wanna have those people just sitting in a vehicle for no reason during those hours when, especially during the week, during those hours, there's really not gonna be much demand. So normally a robotaxi would kind of just be charging or sitting in a person's garage, right, at that time. So I don't think it'll make much sense until they remove the safety monitors to add those hours, with the possible exception of weekends, bar close and things like that. But it's another question of if you want to really deal with that early on in the service, which answer is probably not. Okay, if you have other questions, shoot me a note on X or leave them in the comments here. Maybe I can do another stream tomorrow or something like that. If not, we will have the Q2 earnings report coming up in about a month. Definitely be back for that. And yeah, eager to monitor this. Again, just want to say congratulations to Tesla. This is a milestone that is proving a lot of people wrong. It's early, so that proof will become stronger over time. Obviously, that's our hope. But even taking this first step, getting through this first day in what looks like a pretty smooth fashion, like I've said many times, I'm just really proud of the Tesla team. And this has not been easy. It has not been without criticism. But ultimately what matters is shipping, right? And getting it done. And this is a solution that no one else has even come close to really even attempting to do. Like, people didn't even think this is possible. And we have the proof again right here. And that will only become more solid as the data gets collected, as time goes by, as miles accumulate. So yeah, I'm just really excited for everyone at Tesla. It's just a moment worth celebration. So happy to be, a part of it and be involved in it, and hopefully we'll expand quickly from here. So with that, we'll wrap it up, but thank you all for tuning in. And again, let me know what questions you have, and we'll try to come back to the topic very soon. Thank you.